It is time once again for our good friend Brian Ross to join us with real news. And there's lots of news, lots of different news that we can talk about, Brian. But once again, you take a look in this country. And as I sit here in my hospital room and I read much, much more than I would in a normal day, it is staggering. All I can say is staggering. My jaw drops with the amount of mass shootings. For there's never a reason to shoot people, but mass shootings for an apparent zero reason at all.
The shootings continue. The majority of the country overwhelmingly favors some restrictions on gun ownership and some gun safety rules, yet no progress at all in Congress. It's hard to imagine that this won't be an issue in next year's election. But the sad fact is, from those point of view of those who favor legislation, the gun safety legislation, that it seems people don't vote on that issue. The people who vote on that issue are the people who oppose it. And those who push for it don't seem to go out to the polls just for that reason. It doesn't motivate enough voters. And I guess Republicans understand that.
And I think what the Democrats have to do, years ago, the Region 1 budget was defeated six times in a row. And Muff Muskowski, who was the Region 1 superintendent, came to me and said, "What do I need to do?" I said, "Your problem is you're trying to convince the people that you're not going to convince. What you have to do, when you have to go out and you convince the people that haven't yet voted yet."
Yeah.
And it worked. It worked the next election. The one that's what the Democrats now have to do. You cannot focus in on the people who will never, ever, ever vote for gun control. You have to focus and get people to the polls that are new voters that will move them.
Right. And of course, the issue always has been, is that more important to people than inflation or immigration or abortion? Now, abortion is the one issue in which Democrats have been able to rally voters and have won surprising results. So as you say, that's the game. That's how democracy works. If you get to come to the polls, you get a say. If you don't vote, you don't really have a say.
And we move on to talking about Donald Trump. The New York Times has gotten out of that lawsuit. Basically, everything is lining up in New York for Donald Trump. It appears to be convicted. As a matter of fact, they're not. I don't even think now they're going to present a defense, right?
Well, it's a civil court, so there's no real conviction. It would be a finding of guilty and damages awarded to him. He chose not to testify or to even attend the trial, saying he had a longstanding commitment in Ireland and Scotland, where he has golf courses. So that is where he is as the jury is about to deliberate his fate.
Is just a bump on the road, or can this mean something more with other trials coming down the line?
No, what happened here is he would be awarded damages by the court. The jury would decide how much, and then it's up to the E. Jean Carroll trying to find it to collect that. And he'll appeal. He's already asked for his lawyers have already asked for a mistrial, saying the federal judge, Judge Kaplan, is biased. No sign of that. It's the standard Trump technique and his playbook. But it seems like it's not working as well as it once did for him over decades. It's just piling up. In addition, of course, to this civil lawsuit, there's the criminal charge in New York brought by the attorney general and pending charges in Georgia. And the one I think we should really keep an eye on is what the special counsel Jack Smith is doing in Washington, bringing in the vice president, former Vice President Pence, to testify. That went through the courts, and Pence did testify for a full day since we've talked last, Marshall. There's something going on there. And I'm intrigued by the fact that Jack Smith seems to be focusing on what is like a cut and dry, old-fashioned business fraud case, that he solicited money from people saying it would go to help fight the rigged elections, as he termed it. The money didn't go there. And in fact, well, the allegation is that he knew full well there was no rigged election, but he went ahead and told people to send him money anyway. So here it's a case really of ripping off his own followers. They probably wouldn't mind if they gave the money to him. He did whatever he wanted with it. But it is classic fraud. I've covered stories before on charity fraud. They can be tough to prove, but they are, those are serious criminal charges.
And of course, the one that I stands out for me is literally asking for votes. So we'll have to see how all these appear out over the next 2 years as we look at 280-year-old United States men once again running for president of the United States.
Well, Democrats really, by a strong majority, are not in favor of Biden running, and Republicans are not really in favor of Trump. They have concerns about it, but it seems to be lining up that way, a redo, and lots of talk about RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy's son, running against Biden. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't think he has huge support in the Democratic Party, but it is of interest. And of course, with men who are of that age, every day is a day. They wake up, they've got some kind of issue that prevents them from running again. So it's worth keeping an eye on. It does seem strange, doesn't it, Marshall, that that's the only two, those are the only two people in the country that we could vote for, one or the other, two men who are going to be, whoever wins, they'll be in their 80s when they're the president in the next 4 years.
All right. And we never seem to learn in this country or across the world because the world is such a small place. But once again, this banking financial crisis is starting to blow up a little bit out of order.
More of these small regional banks are under stress. This is all a result, really, of the decision by the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates, trying to tame inflation. But it caught these banks. I don't know why it caught them off guard. It was pretty well known, but they have been they're in trouble because of these rising interest rates. A lot of their investments are worth less because of the rising interest rates. So the banks are challenged, and the Federal Reserve has again this week raised the rate another a quarter of a point. Doesn't sound like much, but it does matter a lot for investors. So we'll see. But and complicating all this, of course, is the looming debt ceiling. I know it's a little dry for our listeners, but it does matter because Secretary of the Treasury Janet Yellen has said if we don't have a debt ceiling increase by the 1st of June, the U.S. won't be able to pay some of its bills, and that would be essentially a default, which could be catastrophic to the economy.
One of those stories that I've been reading about that is interesting to me is India is now the most populous country in the world, and the dynamics of China lining up with Russia. Now India really, for probably the next 20 years, they steal as many secrets as China did, and their economy runs like that. Who gets to team up with India over the next 20 to 25 years, I think all of a sudden has really opened up the eyes of a lot of people in the financial world.
Well, it certainly has, and they're a real financial, juggernaut there for sure, a thriving economy. They have essentially sort of spat out Russia, Ukraine, US. Continuing to buy lots of oil from Russia, which helps Russia, of course. So that's and they certainly have to know they're kind of in the catbird seat. Both sides are courting them and offering them all sorts of things to go along. So overseas and at home, there's so much at stake here going on, and it's hard to keep track of all of it. But you point your finger correctly at what's going to happen to India, not to mention Indonesia and other populous places, and even some of our supposed allies in the Middle East, UAE and others, seem to be cozying up to China.
And we have to take a look at the Ukraine and Russia. Who would have imagined back at the beginning of this? I know that Vladimir Putin would have imagined that Russia has to shoot down drones over Moscow.
Right. If in fact that's what happened, we only know they're drones based on the description of from Russia, and Russia says they were there to try to assassinate Mr. Putin. That's the Russian point of view. They're going out of their way to publicize this and make it well known. Of course, as you know, Ukraine has denied any involvement, whatsoever. And others are saying, could this be essentially what they call a false flag operation, that Russia did something like this or is exaggerating it as a way to justify a major escalation of their war, as if there's much more to escalate. So there's a lot going on there. It's at a very sensitive point, obviously, because every time the stakes go up, we get closer to a straight-on U.S.-Russia conflict, which nobody wants. I don't think even the Russians don't want that. As Ukraine continues to fight for its life, preparing their spring offensive, and Russia's digging in, as you say, there's so much going on. It's there's a lot to pay attention to, isn't there, Marshall? There really is. And we can't all be, unfortunately for you, you're laid up, but you get to read. A lot of us can't. We got to keep an eye on what's going on.
And finally, the story that the world doesn't seem to be as much interested in, and that is the coronation of a new king in England.
Yeah, I know. That's going to come and go in a flash, I think, on Saturday morning.
It's pretty bad when you have to choose a French dish to be the dish of the coronation dinner. But
Well, good luck for King Charles. It seems like a mere formality without much pizzazz or sex appeal, frankly.
Oh, it's a quick look in the past 10 to 15 minutes about what's going on, Brian. And once again, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more going on in the next couple of days. And we'll check in with you again next week on Real News.
I'm looking forward to it very much, Marshall. Glad to hear you're on the mend.